Good Shepherd Sermon for Easter Sunday, April 17th, 2022. Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Get up here. Hold on a second. I'll be right there. It takes me a little while to get up here. It's been a long ride, but I'm going to walk here. Hold on. I'm almost here. I'm out of breath from walking that far. Just take a moment to greet those people sitting near you. I get my breath in. Go ahead. Greet some people around you. Go ahead. Greet those. Greet the people around you. Wow, I'm exhausted. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I am exhausted. I am just simply tired. I am Simon Peter. Is he on the screen yet? Are they going to put him on the screen? Please put him on the screen. I want to see Peter on the screen. I want to see myself on the screen. There I am. I'm inside that tomb. And that's John, my fellow apostle with me, my fellow disciple. We rush to the tomb, and as you're going to read from the Luke's Gospel account, I'm going to read it to you on the screen. When I got there, I was thalmadzon. That's on the front cover of your worship folder. That's a Greek word that means I was amazed. I was thalmadzon. Can you say that with me? Thalmadzon. One more time. Thalmadzon. You see, for the last 30 years, another pastor has been up here telling you some Greek and Hebrew words. His voice isn't quite ready today, so I'm going to take care of that for him today. Thalmadzon, I was amazed. Let's look at that text from the Gospel of Luke. What did he record for us? Follow along with me on the screen. On the first day of the week, that's Sunday morning, very early in the morning, the women went to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men, you know who they are, angels, right? Suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothing. The women were terrified and bowed down with their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Yet these words seemed to them like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter, that's me, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over to look in, he saw only the strips of linen cloth. He went home amazed, thalmadzon, amazed at what had happened. Thalmadzon. Say that to me again. Thalmadzon. I, Simon Peter, was amazed when I got to that tomb. But you can imagine what was going on before I got to that tomb. Before the women had reported to us, you can imagine what things were like for me. I felt pretty guilty. I felt pretty bad about what I had done. You maybe heard those events of what I had done wrong during those last couple of days or weeks leading up to this time of the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, I had said to Jesus that you're not going to go to Jerusalem and die, no way. And what did Jesus call me? He called me the devil. And he was probably right. And then, of course, Jesus said that you are going to deny me. And of course I said, oh, I don't care if all those other disciples deny you. Lord, I never will. And before the rooster crowed twice, I denied him three times. And all I had to do was look at him, and his look showed how I needed to repent, and I wept bitter tears. But then we have this scene before us in our text, the account of the Gospel of Luke, recording those great words of what happened on that Easter morning. But like you, when you lose a loved one, grief sets in, doesn't it? You've all been there, haven't you? And when that grief sets in, you go through some really bad stress in your life. Some post-trauma. It's really nasty business, this thing called death. And so that's what I was feeling until the women arrived on the scene, as you heard it read earlier on the screen there. Mary came running with some breathtaking news. She took my guilt away, my fear away, with some news that we didn't quite accept or believe at the time. She reported that something great had happened, that they had seen the Lord, that the angels had told them he's not there. And of course, remember what they had done that night or that morning? Very early in the morning, they were good Jewish women. They did not work on the Sabbath day, so they did not come to prepare Jesus' body for further burial customs in that morning. They came Sunday, not Saturday. They had to rest from their labors. So on Sunday morning, they came to prepare that burial, to finalize the burial of Jesus. And what happened? From a distance, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and there was definitely no one inside. And typical Mary, you know what she did? She determined that someone must have stolen his body. She even said to myself and John, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. We were puzzled at what was going on. Simon Peter was amazed, but you might ask yourself, didn't you believe yet? No, not really. I was not quite ready to believe that Jesus had actually risen. Even though there was evidence from these women, we did not accept their testimony. And you might be looking down on me. Oh, that's okay, but I guess I have to go back at you and say, are you as clean as the driven snow also? Aren't you just as guilty as I am when it comes to believing in the resurrection? I mean, do you live it that way? If you truly believed in the resurrection, wouldn't you be here every single Sunday, not just at Christmas and Easter? If you truly believed in the resurrection, wouldn't you believe that Jesus could hear your prayer and intercede for you on his Father's behalf and answer your prayer? I know I'm being a little harsh to you, but let's give an example for the 21st century. You know what's going on in Ukraine, right? The war. I've read about it in your papers. Guess what happened? I just heard a story about how prayers were heard by God's people in Ukraine. One of the members of the Ukrainian Lutheran Church, who has a sister who works in a hospital in northeastern Ukraine, was called by her sister asking for people to pray for her and the other workers in the hospital. Russian bombs were falling all around them, and she feared they would not live through the night. Many prayers were lifted up to our Lord, and they did live through the night and are still helping the wounded and those who need medical attention, showing the power of prayer. Now I know, though you may not be here every Sunday, you still believe in Jesus and the resurrection. I know that still, though you don't always pray as often as you maybe could or should, you still believe in Jesus as your resurrected Lord. But realize what I was coming from. I was grieving because I had seen the burial of Jesus. I had seen him die on a cross. I was not quite ready to accept it. Not by faith. The Apostle John, we're told, he writes in his own gospel, he saw and believed. He was hinting just a little because he had not yet come to know from the scriptures what had actually had to happen, that Jesus had to rise from the grave. He had a little bit of faith, but I was thaumazon. I was amazed. What is it? Thaumazon. Say it with me.
Thaumazon.
Yeah, my amazement. My amazement at the women's report, but I wasn't quite ready to accept it. I couldn't accept what was being told me because of what I had seen and witnessed. I couldn't accept it because, well, those Emmaus disciples told us that afternoon that he had risen. No way. We would not accept their words either. It seemed like nonsense to us too. I'll tell you a little story. I understand that you have a custom nowadays that's called buying all these baskets and filling them with plastic eggs, and inside those plastic eggs are all kinds of different candies, coins, maybe even a dollar bill, and some toys. I understand you're going to have hundreds and hundreds of those Easter eggs in a hunt later on after this building is emptied out for the kids to come back and try to find these Easter eggs. For you who are adults, You maybe don't get so excited anymore like you did when you were a child. Maybe that's because those Easter eggs, while they bring some joy to a child's heart, don't really tell the big picture. The glorious picture of something greater and bigger yet to come. You see, what happened was, what turned around my amazement was the appearance of the Lord Jesus himself. You see, he did appear. He did appear to the women in the garden, to Mary herself. Remember, you heard those words if you were at the sunrise service. I heard you heard those words as well there, where John records that Jesus spoke and she thought he was the gardener, and he simply said her name, Mary. And she knew that was the Lord's Christ. And Jesus appeared to those two Emmaus disciples. He appeared to us on Easter evening. You're going to hear about that next Sunday when you're here. And then the week after Easter, when Jesus appeared, when Thomas was there, evidence of over and over again of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we began to believe with all our heart, soul, and mind because we saw him with our own eyes. That's truly amazing that you believe in him as the Lord and Savior with your spiritual eyes. Yes, I was thaumazon. I was amazed. Jesus once came to me privately. He said, Peter, just as you deny me three times, so I ask you, do you love me? Three times Jesus asked me, do you love me? I said, yes. He says, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And I was amazed again. All of us realize that when we see the recording of the scriptures of Jesus' resurrection from the grave, that it fills us with joy. An Easter joy beyond what is in an Easter egg or an Easter dinner. That Easter joy is yours. Perhaps you can express that joy like someone who's been told they have cancer. They go through the treatments and the doctor reports you're now cancer-free. What joy is in their heart? That's the kind of joy, but even a greater joy that's in your heart when you see that Jesus is alive again. The resurrected Christ is your Savior and your Redeemer. And Jesus once said through the Apostle John's words that I'm going to come back once I go to Jerusalem and die and rise and go back to life again. I'm going to come back to be with you forever in heaven. That wonderful message of Jesus coming back reminds us that our times are short as well, aren't they? And we have various ages of people in this building watching us on streaming right now. Whether it's the young or the old, we don't know when our time of grace is over. The time is coming when the Lord is going to separate our bodies and our souls. It happens at death. When death comes to us, no matter how it happens, when it happens, the body separates from that inner part of us that's contained within the body, the soul. And we wait until the judgment day for that body and soul to be reunited once again with a new flesh, a new body, combined with that soul to be with Jesus forever. That's what's amazing to me. Amazing that Jesus Christ can do such great things for me, wonderful things he does as a resurrected Christ. As Jesus comes to give me his grace. He comes to give me his grace at Easter time. I'll tell you a quick story. The pastor tells a story about a time he went to visit a prisoner who had been convicted of a crime, a serious crime, and he went to see him in prison. He asked this prisoner, the pastor did, have you been reading your Bible? Because you probably have a lot of time in your hands. And the prisoner said, no, I don't think the Lord has any time for me. I don't think the Lord sees any good in me based on what I have done. And the pastor talked to him for a while and said, you know what? The Lord put that out of his mind 2,000 years ago. The Lord took care of that 2,000 years ago on a cross. He doesn't remember that sin anymore. You are free from that burden and bane of your guilt. And that prisoner wept. He wept at the news that his sin had been forgiven and forgotten by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he began to read that Bible many, many times to grow in his faith and understanding of what amazing it is to know that God is his Savior over sin. That's the gift of Easter. That's the gift of Easter. That's called Amazing Grace. Amazing grace that I was able to appreciate and enjoy while I was here on this earth. I, the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, was thaumazon. I was amazed. You know someone else who was amazed? A Christian woman tells a story how she was longing for her lost son. He had been missing for 15 years. She didn't know where he lived. She didn't know what had become of him. She assumed that because she had loaned him a large sum of money and he did not repay it back, that he felt guilty and that she would never see him again. So she prayed with her pastor, "Pastor, if only I could see my son again and tell him I forgave him so many years ago. The debt is washed clean. He doesn't have to pay me back for this loan. It's all good. I want him to understand what it means to be forgiven and enjoy God's grace." They prayed about it for a while. And yes, 10 days later, her son called her out of the blue. And her son said, "I apologize, Mom, for not calling. I apologize for not coming to see you." And his mother said, "Son, I've longed to hear your voice again. I'm an old woman. I don't have much time left. I just want you to know about God's grace, his forgiving love, his redeeming love because of what he did on a cross and through an empty tomb." That's my amazement. I, the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, was thaumazon. I was amazed at what I had seen, the resurrected Christ. And it didn't end there. No, as your scriptures record, I was full of Easter joy and grace and peace. And what happened to me was later on, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, that I appeared in front of the same ruling council as Jesus to be punished for my sin of telling about the good news. And they told me to stop and be quiet. Your Bible records, I record these words, "There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Well, they put me in prison. When they finally let me out to tell me to stop talking, I said, "I can't help speaking about the things that I have seen and heard." And I was allowed by God the Holy Spirit, you know these words, I was able to be given by the power of the Holy Spirit to write two letters. They're called 1 and 2 Peter. Letters in which I talked about the fact that God's people suffer in this world. We've known over the last couple of years, of course, of the virus and many other kinds of issues that come into our lives, the burden and pains of our guilt over sin, the health issues that we are asked to take on by God's power and grace to get over those things, the suffering we endure, I talked about because I went through those things too. And I remember telling you those words from my one letter. I said to you these words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." I'll be honest, we live our whole life suffering on this side of heaven. It's not going to end until our last day dawns or judgment day comes first. We will suffer. But notice what it says here, that this glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ is an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Heaven is not on this side. Heaven's on the other side. But we know that despite our sufferings and our pain and our losses, we can bear up because we have a brighter future coming with Jesus at our side. As I, the Apostle Peter, was thaumazon, I spoke those words of amazement because I had hope, I had joy, I had peace, I had the comfort assurance of what God has done for me. I'm so glad to hear you're singing those songs of praise so far today. I know you'll continue to sing those songs of praise in the future. Those songs of praise, that Easter joy is on your lips. Understand, no matter what happens to you now and in the days to come, you can have Easter joy. You can have Easter joy because Jesus lives. I, the Apostle Peter, was amazed. Thaumazon. What is it? Thaumazon. I was amazed, and so will you be amazed. As you are amazed now, so will you be amazed forever in heaven. Amen.